Good morning. Welcome to Celebration of Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we pray. Loving and gracious God, as we draw near to the celebration of your son's birth, we pause to give you thanks for the depth of your love. A love so great, you did not remain distant, but sent your only son into the world for us. You loved the world you created, not a perfect world, not a world without sin or struggle, but a broken and weary world in need of hope. Thank you that your love is not selective, but wide enough to embrace all people. We thank you that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. When we are quick to judge, slow to forgive, or tempted to withhold grace, remind us that Christ came bearing mercy, not accusation. As we wait this Advent season, help us to wait with trust rather than fear, with hope rather than despair, with love rather than indifference. Prepare our hearts to receive again the good news that your love has taken on flesh and dwelt among us. We lift up before you those who feel unloved or forgotten this day, those who are grieving, those who are lonely, those who are anxious about what lies ahead. May they know the truth of your promise that whoever believes in your Son will not be lost, but will have life that lasts forever. Send your light into the dark places of our lives and our world. Where there is conflict, bring peace. Where there is division, bring reconciliation. Where there is guilt or shame, speak your word of forgiveness. As we approach Christmas, shape us into people who reflect your love, people who welcome the strangers, show compassion to the hurting, and bear witness to the hope that has come into the world through Christ. We offer all these prayers to you with confidence, not because of our goodness, but because of your great love made known into us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our hope. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us. Pastor Beck was just talking about man's camp. We're looking forward to that. I just found out for sure that Greg Stubbe is going to be joining us and speaking. So he's a great guy. He was here not too long ago. This morning, several scriptures for our readings. We're starting with the Gospel of John, the third chapter, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then in the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And in the epistle to the Philippians, Paul writes these words, chapter 2, starting at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every heaven in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. What does love look like? Every Christmas card, every manger scene, every carol we sing has one central message. Love came down. Not just any love, but divine love. The kind of love that stoops low to lift us high. But that word love can feel blurry in our culture. We say we love pizza, or we love our pets, or we love football some days. Not so much others. And we love God. Same word, but very different meanings. God's love is not sentimental. It's sacrificial. It doesn't just simply say, I love you. It says, I'll come for you. That's Christmas. God so loved the world that he came down. Number one, love took the first step. John 3:16 starts with, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Love moved first. Before we ever reached for God, he reached for us. John said, this is love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent us his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God didn't wait for us to get it together. He didn't wait until we were worthy. He came while we were still broken, still running, still blind. I was reading this story. Very heart-touching story. It was a story of a father whose son had run away. And for months, the father searched diligently for him, but he couldn't find him. Finally, he placed an ad in the local newspaper that read, he doesn't put his name or anything, he just says, Dear son, all is forgiven. Meet me at the train station at noon on Sunday. Love, Dad. When the father arrived at the station, he was shocked to see hundreds of young men waiting, all hoping to be forgiven by their fathers. That's the story of the gospel. We are the children who ran. God is the father who came looking. So the first step in any of love in any relationship is the hardest. But if God could take the first step towards us, we should be able to take the first step towards others, towards forgiveness, reconciliation, or healing. Love is willing to get its hands dirty. We find this out in the Christmas story. When love came down, it didn't arrive in royal robes or golden halls. It came to a stable. The smell of hay, the roughness of the wood, the vulnerability of a newborn. Philippians said, though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God something to cling to, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. Love didn't just look down from heaven. It stepped into our mess. He got splinters. He cried. He felt hunger, rejection. Love always goes where the pain is. That's the miracle of the incarnation. God didn't send an angel to tell us he loved us, but he came himself to show us. Love changes the way we look at mess. You know, I was thinking about this when I was preparing for this, but girls, you know. Girls, starting little girls all the way through 13s. Everything's gross. Everything's gross. Dad, you're so gross. That's gross. Mom, the peas are touching the carrots. That's so gross. Everything's gross, 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 gross. They all talk about gross. And then they become mothers and do things that would make a sailor vomit. They're baptized in grossness, but they don't flinch. It doesn't bother them. I don't know how they do it. Wiping the snot and... You know, in the beginning, they use Kleenexes. After a while, they just grab the kid's nose and wipe it with their hand. All the smells that go along with the mess. Oh, my goodness gracious. I remember changing my daughter's diapers, and my wife would walk in, and I'd have a towel completely wrapped over my face to block out the smell. You know, what changed? Love. She holds that little creature in her hand and is transformed by love. And suddenly everything that was repulsive to her nature is now just fine. Love changes the way we look at messes. Love enters broken places, homes, friendships, churches. It brings healing. If we're to love like Jesus, we must be willing to go where it's uncomfortable. Next, love gives even when it costs. John 3:16, again, he gave his only son. Real love always gives. A real giving always costs something. God didn't just give us advice or encouragement. He gave us himself, his best, his all. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem was the first step toward the sacrifice on the cross. The wood of the manger foreshadowed the wood of the cross. If we want to love as Christ loves, we must be willing to give time, patience, forgiveness, compassion. Sometimes love costs comfort. Sometimes it costs pride. But always produces love, life. Love transforms the way we see others. Again, John said, beloved, if God so loved us, so we ought to love one another. That means when we love others, people see God. The invisible becomes visible through the way we treat other people. You may never preach a sermon, but every act of love preaches Christ to those around you. When you forgive an enemy, when you comfort the lonely, serve the forgotten, heaven touches earth again. That's Advent love, love that keeps coming down through you. Love conquers fear. John wrote, perfect love casts out all fear. Fear builds walls. Love breaks them down. Fear says, protect yourself. Love says, give yourself. Fear keeps score. Love just keeps giving. That was our problem last night. We were just giving. Quit thinking about it, Mark. Move on. When God gave Jesus, he didn't act out of obligation. He acted out of love so deep that fear had no place. That same love drives fear from our hearts. Maybe you're afraid to open your heart again. And I get it. You get burned sometimes. It's okay to be cautious. But at some point, God's love gives us courage. The safest place you'll ever stand is in the center of his love. Love changes the world. When love came down, the world began to change, one heart at a time. Empires rise and fall, but love endures. It cannot be legislated, defeated, or extinguished. That's why Jesus said, by this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. The greatest evangelism strategy in the world is still love, not arguments, not condemnation, but love. You know, early Christians had no political power. They were the least of the least, and they were severely treated and persecuted by the Roman Empire. But people were blown away when you read the accounts of how much these people would love each other. And it changed the nation. Eventually, the entire Roman Empire bowed at the foot of the cross and became Christians. It's an amazing transformation. They were throwing us to the lions. At the end, they were saying, we want this love. Because love is very, very powerful. Love turned the world upside down then, and they can do it again now. And you don't need a platform to change the world. Just start with one act of love. One person encouraged, one need met, one life touched. Love multiplies faster than hatred ever can. So in conclusion, the fourth candle of Advent represents love. It reminds us that Christmas is not the story of us climbing up to God. It's the story of God coming down to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Love came down in the cry of a baby, eventually the calloused hands of a carpenter, in the compassion of a healer, in the outstretched arms of a savior. And that same love is still reaching down today. So this Advent, that same love is more than just waiting for Christmas. Let it be a season where love comes down again through us. Let us be instruments of God's love. You see, Pastor, it's hard. It's all hard. Everything in life is hard. But God can use you. You can do it. ask Christ to live through you. We love him, the Bible says, because he first loved us. You get that and it transforms you. When you realize, I think the reason why a lot of people have a hard time grasping the concept of God's forgiveness is we don't realize what a mess we were. You know, we think we're okay. It's the person sitting next to you that's the problem, right? Don't point at them. But we're okay. As everybody else, they're awful. Those people are awful. Oh, those evil Bears fans are really awful. Back to the Bears. Anyway. But no, when we realize what a mess we are, we can love anybody. If we don't, if we struggle with love, I think it's just that we don't get what happened to us when we came to Christ. You know, what a mess we were. All the stuff we did that we shouldn't have done. The sins and the mistakes and the dreads and the regrets that we have. All of that is washed away and it changes you. And you become very grateful. Jesus gave a parable once about, you know, one guy had owed millions of dollars, basically, and was forgiven. Another guy, maybe a few hundred dollars, and was forgiven. Jesus asked, which one do you think loved the guy who forgave them more? And they all said, well, the guy who was forgiven millions. He said, yeah, he who is forgiven of much loves much. The reality is we've been forgiven a great deal. When Jesus Christ died on that cross for the sins of the world, he took all your mistakes and it was all nailed to the cross. And then whoever would come, his arms were stretched on the hardwood of the cross to embrace anybody that would come in faith. That means all of us. And when we realize where we were and how everything we were done is forgiven, it's easier then for us to love and receive and accept others. You know, sometimes we just got to pray, Lord, open my eyes and let me see what I'm really like. Turn the light here. And then it's easier to turn then and to love other people. And if God can forgive you your mess, surely you can forgive your mother-in-law or whoever it is that's driving you crazy. I don't know, it's so awful, Pat. Yeah. Well, your sins are worse. I guarantee you, we all are just a big, fat mess, you know. And if you came here this morning thinking you want to hang around perfect people, you came to the wrong place. This is the place full of jacked up people. We're all jacked up at some point. This is the place where this is the place of forgiveness. We are gathering as people who've been forgiven, all of our transgressions washed away because of faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. He came down into this mess. I just thinking about it, it just blows my mind. You know, you see things and you're just like, ooh, I wouldn't want to go there. Ooh, you know, you see some of these things in very poor places and you're like, oh man, I wouldn't want to go there and touch these people. You know, but that's what he does. He did. He came down, still does it. Still comes into people's lives, even those who are completely messed up. Sometimes people get angry at forgiveness. You know, Jesus would forgive people, and it would just tick people off. How can you forgive them? You know, because they're so awful. You can forgive me. I'm not that bad of a guy. But we don't realize what our sins do to us and how it separates us from God and how what we've received from God is greater than any gift that we could ever give to anyone else. So with those words in mind, we're going to celebrate our time of communion. This is when we reflect on why we're here. We're here because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. His body was broken. His blood was shed so that we could have forgiveness of sins. So we reflect on that as we take the sacrament of communion this morning. And the Bible says, before we do this, we should pause and reflect, examine ourselves. Where are we at? It always comes back to where are we at with God? You know. So with those words in mind, I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take up the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine us, ourselves, where we're at. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, doing something we shouldn't have done, maybe ignoring something that we should have done, if we've not loved you with our whole heart, if we haven't loved our neighbors as we love ourselves, if we've been quick to judge others, forgetting what we've been forgiven of, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray, have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. And then strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And while heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I've never really done what you guys are singing about, what you guys are talking about. I've never really experienced God's forgiveness in my life. You can right now, just in your own words, whisper to Jesus, say, Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. Will he do that? Yes, he will. If you just put your trust in him. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't work it off. It's the gift of God given through faith and grace in Christ. Amen.